Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is where you need to turn to. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 12. Because we've seen the study, and I'm going to get a quick review in just a second. But in this study, we're ending with a charge. And the charge is what Paul said to Timothy. And we're making application. He starts off, and if you just look for just a second, at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." That's the verse. Now, when you study the passage, you realize that Paul is writing to a younger man named Timothy, and he's saying, "Timothy, don't let anybody look down on you because you're a young man." We started off last week by saying that's what that passage says, but our application is going to be, don't let anybody look down on you because of your age, whether you're a younger person or an older person, because sometimes people say you're too young to do anything, sometimes people say you're too old, or sometimes people who get older say, well, it's time for everybody else to serve, I've done my thing. You never slide for home. You're always running full speed. You run the race to the very end. And whether you're younger or older, the goal is to be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. So in your little handout, it talks about let no one look down on your youth and all that. And we started with the five key areas. Now, before we do that, let me remind you of the study. The study is dealing with this whole idea of making a difference. And we started with, first of all, there's a commission that we have. The commission is Matthew 28, 18 to 20, and that is to make disciples. That's the goal and the plan and the dream of what we're supposed to do, not only individually but corporately. We're to make disciples. Making disciples is a twofold thing. It's evangelism and training. It is leading people to Christ and then training them and equipping them. So lesson one was, what's our commission? And the idea was the challenge to fulfill the commission of making disciples, evangelism and training. Lesson two then emphasized the evangelism part, and we went to Colossians, and we looked at four keys to evangelism, four things that we, if we do, that will be effective in evangelism. We talked about that, and we know how hard it is, because it's a scary thing to share your faith, and yet it's a spiritual battle, and yet we've got to do that. We've got to be able to do that. So we spent a lesson, or we had a lesson. It took us some weeks to go through it. We had a lesson number two was on evangelism. Lesson three was on the training aspect. Basically, the 2 Timothy 2:2, take what you've been taught and entrust these to faithful people. So we're to train, not only be trained ourselves, but train others. And so we spent a whole lesson on going through the idea of being trained and equipping believers and doing all these things. We now have come to the last lesson. And that last lesson is the charge, as we're calling that, and that is to live in such a way that Jesus Christ gets all the glory. As Paul said to Timothy, don't let anybody look down on you because your age, Timothy. You got to be an example in these areas. And so we're looking at five areas to be an example in. And we started last week and got really almost through the second one. I just want to get you a little running start on this. Look at the verse again, and it says this, let no one look down on your youthfulness. He's writing to Timothy because Timothy was a younger man. And when we say younger man, he may have been close to 30 or maybe even older. He was considered a younger man, especially if he was going to be in a leadership position, because in a local church, what's the title, the office of a person who's in leadership? What's the title of the office? It's an elder. Elder means an older person. So here's Timothy, who was a younger man who had been trained by Paul, who had been sent to do things, to equip people and to train them. And so he says, Timothy, don't let anybody look down on you because you're a young man. What we said last week was, don't let anybody look down on you because of your age. Age is not the issue, whether you're younger or older. It doesn't matter. He says, but what you have to do, go to the end of the verse. He says, but show yourself an example of those who believe. The example is the pattern. We want to be a pattern so that people look at us and say, that's the way we're supposed to be. And the bottom line we asked last week is, are you living in the way that you would want other people to look at and say, that's the way a fired up Christian is supposed to be. That's the way I'm supposed to live. So he says, Timothy, don't let anybody look down on you because you're age, because you're young, for any of us, if younger or older, but be an example. Be an example. Be a pattern of those who believe. He lists in that thing. Yes. Where? Something to go by or a model. Yeah, you can make anything up there. You can put anything in there you want. Let me say this. I don't think in my original handout, I don't think there were two A's there. I think it was supposed to be an example is a pattern. I don't think the other A blank is supposed to be there. What did you put? Good job. I don't even remember those two A's, but I'm getting older now. And this is, but so don't look down on me because of my olderness. No, it's not a word. Put that on that sheet, though, because it could fit in that blank. Olderness. Okay, let's look at the five areas, okay? We started on this last week, so the first two we won't go into quite the detail that we went in last week. But he says, listen, if you're going to be, you know, be an example in, first of all, speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. So the first one is speech. And we talked about this. And Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word which is good for edification for the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. He's saying, don't say negative things, bad things. A lot of times when we think about our speech, we think about negative words or bad words. But he's saying the whole aspect. He says, let no one look down on you, but you be an example in your speech, what's coming out of your mouth. And so there's a twofold thing. There's the let's don't say the negative things or the bad things or even the bad words, but let's say the positive things, the things that build up. And we talked about this last week that you know, the tongue is so powerful. And James talks about how powerful the tongue is. And you know, you can say something to someone, and if it's a negative statement to them or about them, it can hurt them, and they can remember it for the rest of their lives. And it's just so powerful. And so words have huge power to them. And you can come to somebody and build them up, and they will remember that too. Now, it's for some strange reason, we will remember something negative about us for our whole life, and we'll forget the positive things that people say. So it takes like about 10 positives for every negative in our lives. You can have people come up to you and go, good job, good job, good job, good job, good job. And you're going like this, and then somebody goes up, and I didn't like it. And what you will remember is they didn't like it. That's just the way it is. Bob, did you have something?
Somebody that you don't know might say something that will hurt you, but somebody close to you that says something can maybe be more damaging.
Oh, I think so. I think that's true. Somebody who you don't know says something, you might say, well, they don't really know me. But somebody who's close to you says something that could really hurt you. So one of the things we really want to do is, you know, we talked about this last Sunday. How far could you go? How many hours could you go from this class without saying something negative about somebody or something? You know, we said, let's see if we could be positive the rest of the way. I'm sure you didn't make it. No, that was negative, see? You can't say that, right? Isn't it easy to say negative? It's always easy to say negative. It's always easy to be critical. It's always easy to look for the thing that's not good or to say, they didn't do that right. That person didn't do this way. You always look this way. You always do this way. What he says is, let's be an example in our speech. And so let's build up. Let's use things that build up people. And you know, I've told you stories about a little guy that I knew that when he was in the eighth grade, his voice was squeaky when his voice, you know, changed, and they called him squeaky all the way through high school. He hated it, but everybody did that on purpose because they knew it bothered him so much. Well, we live in a world that's negative. We live in a world that tends to tear down. What we need to be doing, especially among us, if he says an example of those who believe, we need to really build up. So the first area is speech. Let's build up. Number two was conduct. And conduct really means the manner of life, your lifestyle. And he says, be an example in our lifestyle. The Colossians passage, I think we have some verses, I think. Colossians 3, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So our lifestyle there is how we're living out. Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of the calling which we've been called. Live as a child of God. We should live differently than the world. And remember, I brought this up last week. We're not talking about legalism. We're not saying come up with a whole bunch of rules that make us different. Because there are Christians, or there are groups in this world that look funny and look different. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to be weird. We want to be godly. And let me tell you, you live godly, you'll be different in a fallen world. You don't have to look weird to be different. Okay, so what we want to do is to be godly men and women in a fallen world. You know, it's sometimes easy to, it's almost never easy, but sometimes it's easier in a big thing like coming to church or some event or something that you can do pretty good. The real question is moment by moment, day after day, because the Christian life is running the race with endurance. That idea of day after day after day, do we walk or talk? Do we live out who we are? So the thing I brought up last week, and this is where we basically ended, is that other people are looking at you. You know, and some are looking at you and wanting to be like you, and some are looking at you to see if you're going to mess up. Because there are people who know you're a Christian. They know you said you believe in Jesus, that you go to church, that you're supposed to be different. Some people are looking at you to see how different you really are. And I'm not talking about weird different. I'm talking about loving and different like that. They're going to look at your life to see how different you are. And I brought this up last week. Legalism to me, I hate legalism. I hate it. It's when people come up with all these rules and say, this is what you have to do. The Christian life is not a set of rules. The Christian life is the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Word of God as a walk of faith. And that's what we do. We're lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We're ambassadors for Christ. We have to live different from this fallen world as a godly person. That's what we want to do. So number two was that our example, be an example in our lifestyle. Okay? That takes us. And if you have questions, comments, input, just stop me as we go through these. The third area, he says, is love. And that stands out. In fact, that's everybody always talks about love. In fact, if they say, what's the distinguishing marker of a Christian? Most people would say love. In fact, when you think about the fruit of the Spirit, what is the fruit of the Spirit? What's the first one? Love, joy, peace, patience. But some people even say that when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, there is love as the overarching one, and all the others come out from that. I'm not sure I necessarily agree with that. I think there's a list there. But love is a key. In fact, John 13, 34 through 35, that's where Jesus said, they will know that you are my disciples by your what? By your love one for another. It what makes us different, isn't it? It is our life characterized by love. Remember, love is not a feeling. Love has feelings with it, but love is not a feeling. Because when you tell somebody, I will love you for the rest of your life, you know, that it's not a feeling. Because feelings come and go all the time. I mean, you just got to be so careful with that. Love is reaching out. Love is touching other lives. Jesus gave the commandment. What was it? You shall. In fact, they came to him and they said, Jesus, out of all the commandments, there were 613 commandments in the Mosaic law, some more of the negative than positive, and they thought they would trick Jesus because they would come up to him and say, which is the greatest commandment? And they probably figured, okay, he'll take the top 10, and then he'll try to figure out which is the top 10. Whichever one he picks out, we will say, well, what about this one? What about this one? What about this one? They thought they could trick Jesus. And so they said, which is the greatest commandment? And he said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. And the second one is equal to it. What is the second one? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you do that, he said, all of the commandments hinge on these two, because all the commandments are either dealing with loving God or loving others. Now, Jesus changed that commandment. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's what makes it different now. It's still the idea of loving God. I think it's loving God and loving our neighbor. But we love others as God has loved us. I always think of the picture, and we saw it in our study of the Gospel of Luke back earlier. The Good Samaritan, where this man got all beat up. And who came by? First of all, a priest came by. And then a Levite came by. And, you know, I remember somebody told me that story when I just first became a Christian, and they were telling me, and these two pastors came by. But priest and a Levite weren't pastors in that sense. They were religious leaders. And for a priest, sometimes in their mind, he's not going to touch this man because I don't want to be defiled, because I got to go do my thing. I've got to go serve God. And we have to be careful. Because sometimes we think, I don't want to get dirty, but sometimes, many times, most of the times, you get dirty when you serve God. You just get down where it is. That's where the ministry is, where the people are. Ministry is people. It's not events and programs. That's one thing people have to remember. There are pastors in this town, they're always calling me, and they're saying, we want to get a big event together. We want to get a big thing and call all the churches together. Well, first of all, the churches don't believe the same thing. It's going to be hard to do any ministry together when you don't believe the same thing. But second, ministry is not big events. It's people. Day in and day out, that's what ministry really is. Now, you can have a big event every now and then, but the bottom line is people loving the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, love your neighbor as yourself. And so by example of love, we got to show that we're different. That's why he says, let no one look down on you because of your age, because you're young. Be an example in love. What is the greatest way? I don't know if I have that as a slide or not. The greatest way that we can show love is to tell others about Jesus Christ. That's the greatest way. We talked about this when we did the evangelism part of this study, and I hope you did it. I hope you wrote down some names of people that you come in contact with every day that you don't know whether they're Christians or not. You don't know for sure, and that you're praying that you'll have an opportunity to talk to them. Because the greatest act of love is to tell someone how they can have eternal life. So one of the examples, or this third example, is by our love. He says, be an example in your what you say, how you live, your love. There's a fourth thing, and it's faith. And when we think about faith, there's actually two aspects of faith. This word can be translated in two ways. It can be faithful. I don't know if I got that as a slide. Yeah, faith. It means faithful or dependable or reliable. We'll put the other one up in a minute, but the other one just means a trust. He's saying, be an example by being faithful. Now, that's a key. Being faithful. That's being on time and doing what you say you're going to do and finish what you start and let your yes be yes and your no be no. We live in a culture that's not very faithful. I was listening to a thing the other day, and they had this man on who owns this company, and they were doing an interview with him and saying, what do you look for? And when a person wants a job, and what do you look for if a person's doing a good job? And he said, well, one of the things we're finding nowadays is if they just show up. A lot of people get a job and they miss all the time, or they're late all the time. And, you know, we tell them, be here at 8 o'clock, and they're here at 8:10 or 8:15. Or we tell them this, and they're not there. And the first question they ask when they get the job is, how much vacation do I have, and how much sick days do I have, and when can I take off? And he's saying, we need to be an example by being faithful people. Faithful people. That we, you know, the truth is the Christian should be the best employee, should be the best one. We should do our job better than everybody else. Why? Because we're doing our job for the Lord. That's what Paul taught in Timothy. He says it. He says, do your job as unto the Lord. Don't be men pleasers. Don't do your job just when people are looking. Don't do your job just to please your boss. If you say, my ultimate boss is Jesus Christ, I want to do my job for him, you're fine. Being faithful. The mark of the Christian should be faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4:2, I think. Do I have the verse there? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required of stewards to be found faithful. What do we want to hear him say when we stand there? Well done, good and faithful servant. That ties back in to rewards, because if you are faithfully serving Jesus Christ now and you're a faithful person and you mark yourself out in that way, one day when you stand before him, he'll say, well done. There's a second aspect of the whole idea of faith, and that is when he says, be an example in faith, this means to trust. It means to take God at his word. So not only does this word mean being faithful, but it means being trusting. It means that we take God at his word. We believe that. I had a person call me one day and say, what does the word believe mean? Or trust mean, or faith. That means to take God at his word. It means to be persuaded something is true. That's what to believe is. So trusting or faithful or faith is the idea of believing God. And what we do with the word is we believe the word of God. We live our lives based on the word of God. I was talking to some men yesterday, and we were talking about how people who, they don't really hold to the Bible. They'll say, this part's good and this part's not good, or I hold to this, but I don't hold to this. Bottom line is, it's the Bible. It's the word of God. You hold to the whole thing or you hold to none of it. It boils down to that. You can't pick and choose. You're not God. Either God is true and you say, I'm with it, or you're God, because you're saying, I hold to this and I don't hold to this. I decide what I believe. Well, the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It goes right to the heart of the issue, never comes back void, is profitable, and is truth. This is what we hold to. And so we want to be people of faith, which means we hold to the truth. You know, Paul will say, contend for the faith. And when he says the faith, he's talking about the body of truth. So when he says be an example in faith, he's saying trust the word. Live it out in your life. Be an example of a person that holds and believes God. So we've got speech, what we say, conduct, how we live, love, how we interact with others, faith, whether we're faithful and whether we trust. And then it takes us to the last one. The last one is a little bit hard in our culture. Be an example of trusting God, doing what we're to do. Okay, let's go to the last one, and that's purity. The word purity is pretty strong, because he's dealing with moral purity. He's not just saying be kind of a pure person. He's saying be morally pure, and he's dealing also in the sexual aspect. 1 Thessalonians, I don't know if I have that verse. I do. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, he talks about to be pure sexually, abstain from sexual fornication. He says be pure sexually. We live in a culture that doesn't say that at all. You know, some people don't even want to talk about it. People say, well, don't talk about sex. Don't talk about that. Listen, the Bible is very clear. It says we have to be morally pure. We have to be sexually pure. We have to be different than the rest of the world. And the world is out there pulling us and pushing us on everything. And there are a lot of people who, and there are Christians who almost say, I don't think this one really counts. I think all the other areas count. But this is an area that God surely doesn't demand, you know, a standard of perfection or a standard. The bottom line is, he said, you have to be an example in this area. I told you the story of, and I don't even care. He would not care if I give you his name. Most of you know him, Todd Johnson. He was in our church for about 22 years. He and I met together every week for about 22 years. They just moved to Colorado. I started meeting with him when he was a freshman in college, and I met with him all the way up to, 22 years, and he just left. But one of the things, when I first met him, freshman at OSU, he said, I have made a decision. When I was a little boy, I made the decision as I started growing as a Christian that I'm not going to have any sexual relations. I'm going to be sexually pure until the day I get married. He's going to be an example in that. And I tell you, when Todd lived in the dorm, and he lived in the dorm for, I think, all four of his years here, he could have moved out many times, but he was the kind of guy that said, I'm going to live in the dorm where I can have a testimony, where I can have an opportunity to talk to the guys on the floor. And he did for 4 years. It became known that Todd was the guy who was not going to have sex. And sometimes they made fun of him. Some guys made fun of him. But he stood strong. And as believers, we have to be men and women who say, there is a standard that we see in the Scripture that we're going to hold to. And we're going to be different. Hand up. Well, I hear what you're saying. Here's the thing. What we talked about a couple weeks ago is it is true that when issues come up and somebody asks you what you think about something, I have no problem at all saying, well, here's what I see the Scripture teaching. We talked a couple of weeks ago about one of the things that we want to make sure we do is that we're known for what we stand for in a positive way and not for what we're against always. And sometimes these people who don't hold to the Scripture, they want to look at us and say, you're against this, you're against this, you're against this, you're just negative. And what we really want to say is, no, what I'm for is Jesus Christ and eternal life and salvation and those kind of things. So my only recommendation is just be careful of being too dogmatic of saying, well, this is going to happen. And this, just stand for the grace message of salvation and push that. When I say morally pure, I think we stand for that. We don't have to go around with a sign on saying, I'm morally pure and you're not. What we want to say is, listen, I've chosen by what I see from God's word that this is how I'm going to live my life. And I don't have to say, now, if you don't live that way, you're going to hell. Or if you don't live that way, you're not. I just say, this is how I choose to live based on the word of God. That's why he says, you be an example in how you say it. And how you live, and how you love, and all of these different things, and how you're faithful, and how, all those things. And in the area of moral purity, you show yourself as an example. And so I think that we can do that from a real positive way, and sometimes we can do it from a negative way. And so I think the goal is, especially when it's coworkers and people we're with all the time, we want to be as positive as we can be. Because if you look at this, it's what we say, and how we live, and how we love. And love is a key because you have to, how do you relate to people? We relate to them in love and those kind of things. So that's a great point because you're right. Sometimes when people say something and you say, well, I believe the Bible teaches this, they don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. Sometimes they don't. But that's what happens when you stand for truth. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be negative, but it does mean that when you stand for truth, Paul is saying to Timothy, you got to be an example to the fellow believers in these areas. And I think the area of sexual purity is very hard in a culture that, when I say hard is because it's pushed all the time, whether it's a television, a commercial, a magazine, the computer, everything is pushing sexual things. Yes. You're old? No, you're not.
I want to tell these young people in here what I taught my children.
Well, that's the bell. Thank you so much. No, I'm sorry. It's okay. Yeah, go ahead. Tell us. Yeah.
God gives each one of us a gift, male and female, and it's our virginity. Mm-hmm. And you can only give it away one time. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure that when you give it away, it's the person that God intends for you to spend the rest of your life mm-hmm. with. If you teach that to your children, and I had four of them, they will, it's in their mind. It's in their mind when they go out dating, when they go out. What my mom said, Claudia used to come home to me. She's 55, and she used to come home, and she'd say, Mom, I never could get that out of my mind.
Well, I think...
Like a young friend. Mm-hmm. They decide, no, you're not the person I'm going to give this gift to.
I think you're exactly right. Here's the thing, and I've taught this for years, and I taught a college retreat for years on sex and dating. Let me tell you, the perfect thing is exactly what she says, that you decide when you're younger that that's the gift and you're never going to give that away and you're going to wait till the one that God has for you to marry when you're married. But it doesn't always work that way. And what I'm saying is sometimes we fail. And one thing you need to remember that if you have failed, God, just like we taught Sunday morning, God is not through with you. That's not the end. Confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you and use you, and you can go on with your life. And so it's not a stopping thing. It is not a good thing. I mean, you don't want to do that. It's just like sin. You don't want to sin. But if you do, your life's not over. You got to deal with it. And there will be some consequences on down the road. But that is not the end, and God will take you and use you for His glory. So I always do that because there are people in our church, in this community that you're going to deal with that not only have had abortions, they have had sexual relations outside marriage, they've had all of these things. And we need to let them know that Jesus Christ came for them. He came to die on the cross for all of us. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And He is the Savior. And He is the one who forgives us. And He is the one who uses us. And so it's really important that I know it's, you know, when we start saying, be an example in this and this and this and this, that's what we're supposed to do. But sometimes we fail. And I know every one of us in this room have failed. In fact, we've probably failed in most of these areas that we're talking about. What we want to do is from this day forward, we're saying, I want to be an example to those who believe in how I say things and how I live out things and how I love and whether I'm faithful or not and whether how am I in my moral purity aspect. Is the second bell already ringing? Is this the first? It has? Okay, we've got to do this. Okay, we've got to get through. There's the things. In our words, our life. Go back real quickly. Love, words, lifestyle, love, faith, faithfulness, and purity. Second thing, 1 Corinthians 15:58. If you got your little blanks there, and so I don't want you to not know the blanks, but he says, be steadfast. Let me see if I can find it here. I can't get to the page. He says, be steadfast, and then unmovable, always abounding. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what he says to do. So be faithful men and women. That's what we want to do. We know to be faithful. We know when we fail, we confess it, and we go on. That's the key. Let me give you the applications very, very quickly. Okay. Application number one is don't let your age stop you from making a difference. Whether you're young or old, it doesn't make any difference. Don't let anything stop you from making a difference, whether you are David as a young boy or Caleb as an old man being ready to go or Moses. How old was Moses when he led the nation of Israel out of Egypt? How old? 80 years old. Let's be an example to others in these areas, which we just saw them. And then three, leave a legacy. That's what this study was all about. We don't want to just go through life, living a life. We want to leave a legacy. We want to fulfill the Great Commission. We want to take the message to this world, evangelism. We want to train and equip believers. We want to be an example to those around us. That's what we want to do. So think about the study and say, look, I don't want to have just gone through life. I want to leave a legacy. So great stuff. Let's pray. And then next week, if y'all hand me the stuff, we'll start working on it, okay? Heavenly Father, what a great, great time. Thank you for your word. Lord, we want to be examples in all these areas. We want to let no one look down on us because we're young or old, but we want to be an example in how we, what we say and how we live and how we love and whether we're faithful and trusting and in moral purity. We want to be an example. And Lord, we want to fulfill the Great Commission. We want to have see people come to know Christ. We want to train and equip them, and we want to be that example. Thank you for a great class. Many men and women in this room want to do all of these things and are doing these things now. Lord, I just pray when we get to the end, we will not have just lived a life, but we'll leave that legacy. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.